when they get caught in something, or when their shame is revealed about the sin that they've committed, they sometimes become very vociferous and very angry about it, and try and push the envelope even more.
Welcome, everybody. U.S. Grace Force Podcast. I'm Doug Berry, along with my very good friend, Father Richard Heilman, and we have a great guest tonight. I'm sure many of you have no idea who this is. You can't tell who this person is. We're very excited to have Father Ripperger back on, but before we move any further, we want to start everything off with prayer. So, Father Heilman, I leave this to you.
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Awesome. All right. First, I want to give a big thank you and shout out to everybody who's been supporting the Grace Force podcast. Your prayers, your encouragement, your emails have been amazing and really helped keep us going, especially in these times right now when we've got a little more of this cancel culture going on, a little bit of pressure being put on us. Father Heilman's been in Facebook jail a few times, and so we've got to deal with these types of things. And Father Heilman and I are both feeling it now and then. So we thank you so much for your prayers, your support, and you patrons in particular. Your financial support, your contributions have been amazing. So thank you so much. You're in our prayers all the time. If anybody's interested in becoming a patron, just check the link below and go on out there, take a look at it, pray about it, please. And if you feel the Holy Spirit encouraging you in some way to support us in some way, we thank you very much for that. Also, don't forget to go check out the U.S. Grace Force gear. Great way to also support the work that we're doing and get yourself some very important, powerful gear to just tell the world how you feel about things. One of my favorites, of course, is I Kneel for God Alone. Another one I really love is The Dogma Lives Loudly Within Me, which we all know why that's an important statement. And there are many other great items out there we think will encourage you in the faith and encourage you. So please check out the U.S. Grace Force gear page for all of that. Also, one last quick announcement is on the 17th of November, 17, 18, and 19 of November, we're opening up for 3 days Battle Ready Coalition membership sign-up. For those 3 days, we're allowing people back in to join the coalition. The first 3 months have been amazing, incredible, wonderful things from the coalition members. And so we want to encourage many of you out there to take a look at the Battle Ready Coalition. You can go to the link below for that, battlereadystrong.com and the website, and you'll find the link there, but it's in the description below. And you can take a look at what the coalition's all about. And again, that's 17, 18, 19 in November. Those 3 days, coalition sign up, open for just those 3 days. Join the family. We're raising the bar for one another, supporting each other, and really trying to help train up body, mind, and soul for the fight that we are in the thick of like never before. We're seeing it unfold. And I know, Father Heilman, that's a big part of the topic tonight. Obviously, we're talking about fighting back against Satan's mob, and we have an expert in that field to help us with that. We're very humbled to have this guest back on the show. Father Heilman, I'll turn this to you and let you introduce your brother priest.
Yeah, so I had the great pleasure of meeting Father Ripperger a few years ago and actually had him speak in my parish. We were talking about that before the show started. I think the YouTube videos are up to like 450,000. Look it up. Levels of Spiritual Warfare on YouTube by Father Ripperger. Unbelievable talk, but I think a lot of your YouTube videos get a lot of looks, Father. But why? Because I'm addicted. Yeah, I think there's a Facebook group on in Facebook called Father Ripperger Takes Up One Third of My Hard Drive or something like that. But honestly, yeah, I mean, it's you're just very, very captivating. I just find myself leaning in when I listen to you because you're so knowledgeable about this. And so Father Ripperger is an exorcist, and actually he does a lot of counseling for other exorcists, you know. So gives them direction. That a lot of them I know, I've gotten to know a lot of exorcists. I don't know why that is, but anyways, they all like to come to you for advice. But anyway, so if you haven't gotten to know Father Ripperger through mainly, I think, the YouTube videos, I really encourage you to do that. It's very helpful, especially in our times. And Father Ripperger, you know, we saw what was going on in the culture, you know, certainly for the whole year, you know, and but especially just in the last few days, let's call it the last few, days. And it just, a lot of people right now, Father Ripperger, are feeling, I've been saying evil seems arrogant right now. It doesn't even care to hide itself. I mean, it's just right in your face. You know, I think of images of the rioters just kind of getting up in the face of the police officers and shouting them down. And the police officers can't do anything because, you know, their superiors tell them not to. But that's kind of a stark image, just kind of show, I think, what's going on at all levels in our culture right now. So we asked if you would come on and just kind of help us to understand, you know, what do you feel the devil is doing right now? And then maybe too, a little bit about, what can we do? So can you give us a take on what you believe is going on with the devil right now, Father?
I think he's using people quite a bit. I think that's the principal difficulty that we have. People who are, for lack of a better way of putting it, they're basically in league with him. They actually believe the same things that he does. They want the same goals. I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but I actually did a 40 or 50 part series on communism and how its psychology is identical to diabolic psychology. And I think what we're seeing is there's some stark comparisons that sometimes when I see the behavior of some of these people, that it's what I've seen in session, you know. So, for example, right now things are kind of leading up to a crescendo, and that's what you tend to see right before the person's liberated. So there's this buildup of the diabolic manifestations, which come much more drastic, much more open, much more out there, sometimes even more preternatural right towards the end, and then the person's actually liberated. But you'll see the two characteristics of the diabolic is that. But I think the other thing you're seeing is that once Satan thinks he has the upper hand, he presses it all the more. He doesn't wait. He doesn't take his time. He will, in certain circumstances, take his time. But once he thinks he has control over a situation, he's going to drive it until he gets ultimately what he wants. I think that ultimately what he's doing is he's using people who are not leading morally good lives themselves. I think that a lot of them, as I mentioned, believe the same thing that he believes. And I think that that's slowly starting to come out. I mean, when you look at some of the stuff that was revealed before the election and even some of the things that, you know, are generally available on the internet, and some of these things are, you know, on public record about the behavior of some of the people that have been the most vociferous during this time frame. It reminds me a lot of how the demons themselves would, when they get caught in something, or when their shame is revealed about the sin that they've committed, they sometimes become very vociferous and very angry about it, and try and push the envelope even more. They also do the typical thing, I mean, there's so many comparisons. They do the thing of once their sin is revealed and people see it, then what they'll do is they try and create a distraction in something else. So one of the things that exorcists have to constantly be on the guard about during session is when you start getting a certain point where the demons actually, you're starting to gain certain control over them, or you're starting to get somewhere in a session where it looks like he's going to start telling you some information, he'll actually start doing things in order to distract you, or he'll dig into the person psychologically that's possessed so that it's very hard to get to them. And there's even a stage called the external phase in liberation, in the six stages of liberation, where the demons, once they start losing control over the interior battle, which is very similar to what we kind of started to see in this country, where some of the people you know, call them deep state, call them whatever you want, or even people that are just communists and pushing for communism and things of that sort. Once they got into a position that looked like they were going to slowly get to the point where they were losing control, it was very possible for them to end up losing control. They moved to, in cases of possession, they moved to what they called the external phase. That's the stuff you see in movies where things are going around and around and around inside the room, although that's very rare. It actually does do that, or they'll start like blow out the candles, or they'll blow out the lights or whatever have you. And it's to distract everybody on the outside once they've started to lose control on the inside. The other thing is, it's very common is claiming that they're victorious or that they've already won when they really haven't yet. It hasn't been proven to actually be the case, or that they actually have rights, or that there's certain things that they have that other people, you know, that the other people can't take away from them, etc. So it's very similar to a lot of the things that we're actually seeing. So I think we're seeing that on their side. I think on the side of those who are on the side of the angels, so to speak, who actually want what's best for this country, I think that this is just some basic external observations, and stop me if I'm going on too long.
No, that's great.
I think there is a kind of a in the minds of people, there's a feeling of vulnerability right now. And the reason I say vulnerability is because people recognize that the checks and balance system in our country has essentially broken down.
Right.
And the checks and balances meaning that people in one part of the government are just doing whatever they want or legislating when it's not their place to legislate. We saw that actually with COVID, where you actually had mayors setting aside constitutional rights of the citizens. So the actual checks and balances system are broken down. There's also kind of a slow burn with people in the sense that people are angry at systemic crime. I mean, people are just certain families and things of that sort who are just systematically getting away with crime year after year, and nothing's ever done about it. How much evidence do you actually need? I mean, when the public sector knows 10 times more than what people get convicted for in court, you're wondering, like, what's it going to take for certain people to actually end up being put away for their crimes, especially when the crimes have caused tremendous damage, which basically involved treason, selling out the country and things of that sort. This is also why many believe that even if the fraud is exposed and all of this comes out in this whole process, that some people have actually expressed they're not convinced that the Supreme Court would actually end up ruling in favor of what's right. Now, historically, they've gone both ways. What they did with LBJ, they basically acknowledged that the guy committed fraud, but they still gave him the election. And then you've got the, if I understand my history correctly, and then you've got the Al Gore situation, which they actually did adjudicate appropriately, so it seems. And so I think that there's people that are concerned that there's not going to be a consistent or a reliable judgment, even from the Supreme Court, even with the new people that we have on it. That's just kind of my general take. But I think that demoralization is precisely what you see when demons are attacking people. One of the things that we have to do with people who are possessed is constantly get their focus back on God. Don't let the demons drag your focus into, you know, the stuff that you're suffering and the things that you're dealing with. Keep your focus, because that's when things start going downhill. It's also one of those things that the shift in the focus is what the demons are always trying to get us to do and to be demoralized. In the ritual, you actually ask for the time and date of departure of the demon. Now, I don't stress that too much, and neither does Father Bamante, who's in Rome, if I'm not mistaken, and neither did Father Amorth, God and may he rest in peace. But I found that what they do is they try and set you up like you're going to win, or that this is the day in which the liberation is going to occur. The day comes and goes and it doesn't happen, and so the person gets demoralized. And that's why I always tell them, well, of course, of all demons are liars, so never presume that when they tell you those things that it's actually going to happen on that day. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Our job is just to keep grinding it out. And I think that's my concern is that people on our side, the way the demons are, they're using the people on the other side to attack us and to make us feel demoralized like they've won, when it, and it's all of, and what I think ultimately on the side of demons, it's about distracting us from our focus. I think that's what it ultimately boils down to.
Now, Father, early on, as you were explaining that, which that was phenomenal, and I just your assessment of the entire situation in comparison to what's happening right now in our country and other parts of the world. But you mentioned something I want to just touch base on again, is that they get angry, that there's a reaction from the demons when we respond to God's grace and start to rise up in prayer and so forth. I mean,
right.
Can you kind of detail that a bit more about that we are in the thick of a battle, that it's not like they're inanimate kind of robotic beings that are tempting us, but there's an actual, if I'm understanding this intelligence, there's a response to them that's coming from them, and they get more angry when we rise up in unity of prayer and so forth. Is that correct? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, it is. And there's two parts to the St. Thomas defines anger as a complex passion in which there's perception of injury with a desire for vindication. Now, one of the things, and this is what we've actually seen in certain segments of our population, like in the mainstream media and the like, they take everything personal. Everything is personal. That's the way demons function. Literally, you can't have any interchange with them. They don't take personally. And that basically boils down to the fact that it was kind of interesting because on the communism series that I did on YouTube, they one woman says, well, it sounds to me like they suffer from narcissistic personality disorder. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much a description of demons. And yeah, that's pretty much a description of communists.
Yep.
But I think that the reason I'm going into that is because they easily perceive any injury whatsoever. And here, that's one of the things that we saw with the rioting and things like that. It was all perceived. There's a lot of this stuff wasn't even real, or there wasn't, if you looked at the actual facts of cases which they were rioting over and things like that, they weren't in the right in doing so. But St. Thomas says, so once a person perceives the injury, then he says they try and mete out vindication against the person to cause them to stop hurting us. Right. So when we get angry, someone hurts us, we hurt them in order to not hurt us. He says that's the structure of anger. And I think that's what we're actually saying. So on the side of the demons, when we rise up in prayer, that means that God will answer their prayers. I mean, one of the beauties of being an exorcist is you literally see the effect of your prayers. When you ask God the Father, punish him for doing X, you immediately see God physically punishing this demon for what he's actually doing. So there's a certain sense in which you realize God is right there. He's listening to everything that you say. You just have to be very persistent. But the demons know that if you are praying, that means that what they are working towards will get stripped from them. And that's why they get so angry. And I think that's one of the things that you actually, and they get really irritated just by virtue of the fact that you're even fighting against them. Their basic attitude is you should just step aside and I should get what I want.
Yep.
Which sit I'm sure sounds up. Very familiar out there.
Yeah, sit down and shut up is what I've been saying.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And that's what demons like to do. They like to bully. But they are typical bullies, just like these other people are. Once you rise up against them, they're basically cowards and they flee, right? So, but I think that, this is one of the things I mentioned too, that, you know, certain people within our culture have debilitated the police to where they can't function, so they can't subdue people in a rightly ordered fashion in order to establish law and peace and order. And that's exactly what the demons try to do, is actually try to debilitate you or set up a situation where you feel you can't go after them because what you're fighting against seems almost insurmountable. And so that's the, because a lot of times people who are possessed will say, Father, I can't do this. I can't fight this. You know, I can't make it to the end. And my answer is always the same. No, you can't. But with God, you can. And that's the thing that the demons constantly do, is shift your focus away from God and onto your troubles, the magnitude of them and things of that, rather than keeping your focus on him and doing what you need to do to actually win the battle. So I think that's my concern, is that a lot of people, I saw this at least for the first couple of days after it looked like Joe Biden was going to win. A lot of the people on the right just got demoralized. It was like they deflated and almost gave up, like right off the bat. So, and you know, this, it, if I may make the comparison, it's a bit of a long comparison, but you know, bear with me. This whole situation with Trump reminds me, I very much like the situation that Joan of Arc suffered in her life. So one of the things that I learned in dealing with Satan in a particular case is that when he is the demon of delay, now this is very interesting, when he delays things, he does so in order to slow things down so that other things can be put in place, because his goal is to block the process. So he's a demon of delay. His nemesis, when it comes to demon of delay, when he's a demon of delay, is Joan of Arc. Obviously, Our Lady's always his nemesis in a variety of different ways. But when it comes to when he delays things, it's Saint Joan of Arc. So if you go back and read like the Rehabilitation Trials, or you can read Mark Twain's book on Joan of Arc, which is actually so close to the Rehabilitation Trials, it's almost, you might as well just read that because it flows very well. One of the things that you see is time and time again, when St. Joan of Arc was trying to accomplish something, there would be people around them that would delay everything. So there's, and I even beat out of him one time, are you the one that, you know, delayed this and stopped this and that? And he basically said, yeah, he was the one using these people to cause these delays. And the ultimate reason was because his hope was then the English could move into the proper places or what have you, get their armies where they needed to, so that the French would be defeated. So there's that delay now in the election, which I find, when I first saw that, I'm just like, that's, because I deal with this in my, as an exorcist all the time, where demons delay your work or put up these blockages so that you can't get things done. Another thing that I find very fascinating is that in the life of Joan of Arc, they asked her, are you afraid of anything? And she said, treason, which I found very interesting. The bishop who basically, tried her illegitimately, put her to death, and then made sure none of her relics or anything was ever available. His sin essentially was treason through ambition. He sold out his own country through the ambition because he wanted a bigger bishopric. And so you're seeing this kind of thing even in our own culture, where certain people in positions of power are very, very ambitious. And from that arises a certain treason, because they want to attain certain things and they're willing to sell out the country in order to attain it. France was occupied by the English. We're occupied by the deep state. I mean, that's basically what we're dealing with.
Right.
And the English thought that they had a right to rule over France. And so do the elite. And so do the communists. They think they have a right to rule. So there's this, the parallels in the life of St. Joan of Arc are pretty, pretty stark. At the end, when she was being tried, Joan was essentially alone. She felt alone. There's even times when you read her biography that she was actually, even during, between battles, she would feel very much alone, because essentially, I always tell people, it's pretty bad when it takes a woman to man up the French, right? So, but to go to war. But the point being is that she was alone, and now we've got a situation where it looks like Trump is alone. So even those who appear to be with her during her life were very often the ones delaying things and sabotaging things and trying to derail it. And you actually see that even with Trump throughout the course of his presidency. And even now, there's the people that should be supporting him are the ones that are derailing it. The deep state wants to impose an alternative form of government. That's exactly what the English wanted to do. They wanted to basically maintain and expand their control over France. St. Joan was sold out by a Frenchman. Trump was very often sold out by the same people in his party. Just as the bishop put St. Joan in jail and disposed of her relics, the deep state will be extraordinarily vindictive. I predicted this a week ago. I said, if these people actually win, the retaliation is going to be diabolic in nature. It's going to be brutal. And we're already seeing that with some of the statements made by one of the congresswomen that, you know, they should start keeping track of these, making lists of people and this and that. These people are out for blood now.
The chilling effect. There's a certain set.
Yeah, it has. Exactly. So the point being is that it's when you look at the life of St. Joan of Arc, very often during even the battles, when she would be in battle, she might be back a little bit in the, very often she was the one at the forefront, but sometimes she would be back a little bit in the ranks, but then the guys would start like not not advancing as quickly as they should. And then she would go up to the front and start forging forward. And so in a similar fashion, you know, and so she would encourage them to keep fighting forward, keep going forward. I tell people, look, now is not the time to cower. Now is not the time to just give up and say, okay, we can't do anything. It's true that we can't really do too much on the external political level. That is true. And that's probably not our place, most of us. Especially as priests, we're not supposed to be doing that. But at least in relationship with the laity, there's only certain things that they can do in the public sector, given their state in life. Now, some can do a lot, some can't. But what this means is that now is the time to be like St. Joan of Arc. That is, we have to make the final push. And what this means is that it's not just a matter of abandoning doing anything. Because I even saw this. People stopped praying. Some people actually stopped praying. It's like, oh, well, there's no point. It's just, it looks like the election's already been decided and things of that sort. And I just tell them, look, now is the time to start fighting. Now is the time to buckle down in prayer. Now is the time to basically man up. And if you're a woman, it's time to become a strong woman. It's time to start praying, fasting, doing those things we need necessary, because in a certain sense, I've talked to people who are very high level in our government, you know, that literally work at the highest levels in some of the parts of Washington. And they have told me that the deep state is so pervasive. It's so extensive and has gotten so much power over the last 30 to 40 years that it's unlikely that even Trump could get the thing rooted out, at least in one term. And so, but that what that tells us is, okay, that just looks like it did with the English when it looked like when Joan couldn't, or the French couldn't conquer them. Joan would actually literally start climbing the walls of the castle in order to storm it. I mean, she would literally start doing those things. That's how she got injured once. So the point being is that we can't sit and let this thing pass us by and do nothing. Yeah, there's one person. There's only one person that can change this thing. I mean, it is insurmountable on the side of man. It is not insurmountable on the side of God, and right. He can still deliver us from, you know, 4 years of brutal, I mean, oppressiveness. I mean, because that's what's actually coming. And retaliation, things of that sort. He can deliver it from us, but we have to be willing to do our part if we expect him to do his part.
I'm so glad to hear you talking like this, Father, because I didn't confer with you before I wrote this, and actually Doug fed me this line. He helped me recall about Admiral Yamamoto of Japan after they bombed Pearl Harbor. And the classic quote is, "I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and filled him with terrible resolve." Yeah. And I have that right now, and I am doing whatever I can. I know you do too, Doug. I know you do, Father. But we're doing everything we can to say, and you know, you're talking about Joan of Arc. I always tell the women, I love the expression, Joan up. You know, you said man up. You know, it's Joan up, you know. Let's get out of the fetal position, okay? And let's do what we can do. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible, okay? And so what are we called to do right now? We're called to get strong in God's grace.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's the force that we'll be reckoned with, because, you know, you can think of all kinds of images, but the most classic is probably David and Goliath, you know. All he had was a sling and a stone, right? But with God, you know, you can have this insurmountable force coming at you. And you pull out your rosary and you can say, I like the odds, you know? I mean, God is stronger than the devil.
The other thing is, too, is that the people on the other side are taking this as a spiritual warfare. I mean, look at all the, I'm sure you've read the stories about the witches actually doing witchcraft, where they're cursing Trump, trying to stop the actual...
We've been countering that, Father. We've been playing the St. Patrick Larica prayer every time they're doing it.
Yeah, I'm going to make some suggestions about what people can do, but it basically means that the demons are inciting people to do things to affect, so that he can be empowered to affect the outcome of the election. Right. Because ultimately, he wants his country communist. And there is a reason why our Lord chose Our Lady to be the one to counter communism, because its psychology is entirely diabolic. This is why she was the one chosen by God to be the one to ultimately undo it. This is why we have to ultimately go to her, which I'll make some suggestions about some prayers here in a little bit. But she's the one that's going to be the one that God's going to use as the instrument to crush this. Let's not forget, the United States is under the patronage of the Immaculate Conception.
Yay.
Yes. We should be fleeing to her and say, take back your country.
That's right.
Father, very simply put, it sounds like it's a safe bet. And I want to say this, I want to reiterate this, because I think one of the hardest things for people right now is just the issue of perseverance, just to persevere through this. And what helps, I hope, is for people to understand, if I understand the way you worded this, is that the demons are counting on us giving up. Being demoralized,
that's right.
And giving up. Is that simply put? Because if that's the case, then our attitude has to be, look, I know this opposing force that takes everything so personal, like a bunch of narcissistic, you know, infants over here are so offended by the fact that I'm rising up in prayer and they're counting on me being so demoralized, so tired, so battle weary that I'm just going to give up. And if that's the case, well, then I'm rolling my sleeves up and I'm redoubling my efforts. Is that a fair assessment from what you said?
Can I jump in before you answer that, Father?
Sure.
Because right away, I think of Trump. I mean, he has been abused for 4 years, and that was their calculation.
4 years, that's right.
Yeah, for 4 years,
yeah,
that was their calculation. They're shocked that he hasn't given up at this point. But yeah, the devil is trying to get us all to give up. Right, Father?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's very interesting. Again, this has a lot of similarities to what you see in a possession case. So there's six stages of liberation. In the fifth stage, when you start getting close to the person being liberated, there's a few things that the person who's possessed ends up as they're fighting or slogging their way through it. And that is trying to convince the person to kill themselves or just to simply give up or tell them, look, if you just give in and you cooperate with us, things will be better, etc. So you hear those exact same things being played out even now. And it's, I think that it's, you know, the way in which part of the diabolic psychology is they basically set up these domestic abuse kind of relationships where they basically abuse you for long periods of time. And they're trying to get you to succumb and to become demoralized and to give in, because then they have power over you, or it becomes harder to fight them. And that's why when I look at them, I just said, well, we're just dealing with a case of a battle of good and evil. You know, I mean, there are certain key figures, obviously, that are in the public sector, but this is literally a case. This is not about flesh and blood. This is about principalities and powers. And unless our country does what's necessary to fight this on a spiritual level, I just don't see it ever really being this whole problem being conquered or overcome in any serious fashion.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence, okay, that the readings lately have pointed to Jesus's righteous anger. I mean, we're recording right. This on Monday. It goes up on Wednesday for the folks. But this morning's reading was Jesus grabbing that whip, you know, and driving the money changers out of the out of the temple. And that's the classic. And of course, we know he's the second person of the Holy Trinity, and he was sinless. Okay, wait a minute. Whip, you know, yelling at him, get out of here. You know, that's not sin. Well,
right.
And so God is asking us to find, I believe, that righteous anger, the kind that helps us to get this ship back in the direction of God. And that's why, too, we had this phenomenon this summer of Father James Altman, you know, and he appeared to be angry, but he was sounding the alarm bell. And I think there's up to 1.2 million views of his video. And that's 1.2 million people that said, thank you. Okay. Thank you for sounding the alarm bells and stressing the gravity of the situation. Okay. That's what we're called to do. Conversely, I think the other side, they just get up in your face and they claim control over you. Okay. And they,
that's right.
They do that chilling effect, you know, and the cancel culture, these are the terms they're used these days, to try to get us to submit. Right. And we're just being bullied. At some point, okay, at some point, we need to rise up and say, not in my watch. Right, Father?
Right. Yeah, I think so. You know, right before a person is liberated from possession, if the case gets protracted for any length of time, you'll get to the point where the demon is completely compliant and it's grinding and grinding, but it doesn't seem like it's getting anywhere. It doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere. It looks like you're not going to conquer this guy. It doesn't look at, but I always tell people, look, that's always the precursor to God stepping in and then boom, it's over. So I said, it's going to come very quickly when it comes. That's the way this is all kind of looking to me, that it's making it look like we've lost, we're not going to win this thing, etc. When in point, in fact, what you have to do is exactly what you have to do in relationship to the getting the person liberated. That's the time when you maintain the prayers, you maintain the brutal beating of the demon, you just keep it going. Don't stop, don't back down. In fact, that's when you start increasing it, because at a certain point, God's going to say, okay, that's what I was looking for. And then he's going to give you the deliverance, right? Right. It's the same thing here. People can't stop the praying. We have to do a full court press on the prayers, on the fasting, on the mortification for the sake of this. And it will come, and it'll come very quickly when it finally does come. But in the meantime, it may look like we're not going to win, but we just, with God, we can win. If we just give up, well, then God will deliver us over to these people if we're not willing to fight for what's right.
And you know, Father, I see this, especially as a husband and father. I mean, I'm always humbled to be on the program here with priests. You know, you all have this character, this dignity that I just don't have. I just have to be a lowly husband and father here. So I'm hanging in there. So
and marriage is a noble institution.
Yeah, I remember asking a friend of mine asked a priest one time, you know, why marriage sometimes gets talked about as kind of the sliding into second default vocation. And his response to my friend was, well, why don't you go ask the greatest saint in heaven? She was married, you know?
Yeah.
But the point I'm getting at is, as husband and father, I mean, if you could speak directly to us men who are heads of our families, because I know a lot of the troops need to be rallied within the family. And obviously we need to be hearing it from the pulpit. We've got the issue, the struggle with bishops out there, you know, who are just not on board when it comes to really standing up and holding the feet to the fire as need be. But us husbands and fathers, and there's a lot of us out here who are just, we're looking for that encouragement, that direction. And I'm trying to rally men and say, look, you grab your rosary, make sure you've got that rosary. You're praying that every day and you're fasting a little bit every day. Some mortification, read your scripture, get to the sacraments. But coming from you, can you speak to us husbands and fathers in the family, in our little foxholes, our platoons of our families, about not giving up, in fact, really toughening up and engaging in this fight like we're taking a beach for God?
Yeah, I think that, well, first of all, the coward is the guy who's just going to roll over when it looks like he's lost, right? Whereas the man keeps fighting until he feels his job is done. And I think that's what really asks them. So to be men within the families, they need to rally their families together, those in their families, get their wife together, get the children together, and start praying and start doing things. And some of the recommendations I'm going to make about prayer are things that whole families can actually do in such a manner to keep themselves protected in the actual spiritual battle in fighting for this. So I think that, I think it really boils down to, you know, if I was a husband and I had a son, and he, when all this stuff hit, if I just started talking like, you know, oh, we're lost, we don't get anything, and I was walking around depressing, what kind of an example am I giving as being a man to my son? He should be thinking to himself, okay, as a man, what's the way that I can begin to try and conquer this enemy, to protect our family, my country, et cetera? And the way that they're going to do that primarily is through prayer. You've heard me say before, you know, if a man fails in doing prayers to protect his family, but also just in prayer in general, he's failed in the most essential and important obligation as a man in relationship to his family and his wife. So the point being is that this is something that they need to really buckle up. And I think that really comes down to, like you said, start saying the rosary, start doing some of these other things. And if you like, I can go into some of the concrete suggestions I can that I would make in relationship to what prayers families, people can start saying in order to see if we can start taking an edge off of this thing. And these are the same kinds of prayers that we very often use within session even, but there's prayers that lay people can do, and there's a certain safety in doing them if they do them properly.
I think everybody get a notebook out, yeah. Right? And Father, if you would, honestly, we would love to hear what you recommend. I think everybody is saying, what can we do? How should we pray? How can we stand strong against this right. Invasion of evil that's so arrogant right now?
Yeah.
What do you recommend, Father?
Well, I think the first thing is just to recognize that with demons, when it really comes down to it, they're cowards. So when you stand up against them, they will fold. It's when you're consistent and you are strong and you remain strong and you keep doing what you're supposed to do, that's when they fold.
Nice.
So I think we have to take that same approach. People have to be very consistent in their prayers. We've got to pray our way out of this. God said, knock and it will be open. Yes. So what we pray for is what we're going to get. So right. This means if we want, you know, a normal country and try and get back to this, the only way to do it is pray our way out of it. Because at this point, it's only going to be grace. It's going to root out this the entrenched problem that we actually have. So first, let me preface with by saying this. There was a prayer that was floated around on the internet, and it basically said that I was the one that Father Ripperger is telling everybody to say this prayer. I never really did that.
Is that right?
What happened was, that's right. What happened was, is it's from this book. So it's from this book right here.
Yeah. Everybody get that book. We should,
Deliverance.
We should link to that book.
Yeah,
this podcast. So
it's from this book, and it started out with someone saying, hey, you know, there's this book and there's this prayer in Father Ripperger's book. We should say this prayer. Well, like the game of telephone, by the time it got out, I was telling everybody to do it. And so people would ask me, and I just said, well, I never said that. However, I let it stand only because it is something that I would probably have said.
Okay. I have to say here, sorry to interrupt, that I posted that as well.
I did too.
Oh, it's all over the place.
Yeah, it got sent to me, and I took the prayer, and I admit, when I saw the prayer, it was just kind of a photocopy look. So I created a nice meme out of it put some graphics to it, you know, nice, ended up a little bit, put it out there. And I thought the same thing, because I thought, you know what, he may not have said it, but I really think he would say something like this.
Exactly.
So forgive me, Father Ripperger, but I did send that out. Yeah. I didn't initiate.
Yeah, part of the difficulty.
I forwarded it.
Yeah, part of the problem is too, in my schedule, I go through periods where I'm doing sessions. So I'm right in the middle of this. So when Father Heilman asked me to do it in the evening, I thought, yeah, that I can do. But then I'm, you know, I get inundated and I just can't get to a lot of the stuff. So I never really corrected any of this. I'm like, well, that's what I would say. Although that's not necessarily the prayer I would recommend for people. In addition to the rosary and getting to mass, getting to confession regularly, offering these things up for a honest, fair, and a just election. So that's what we're ultimately praying for. And I think also we should be praying for Trump's protection, because I think that if they do get in, his head's on the chopping block. And I think we owe him something for what he's done for our country. He wasn't the perfect president. And there were some times he said some stuff that even I was kind of scratching my head about. But the fact of the matter is that what he did for our country, we owe him a certain debt in relationship to that. That being said, in this book, there is a prayer. And this is the one I'm going to recommend, because it's the one that we find a lot of times that is the most efficacious in crushing diabolic influence in an area of oppression. The fact of the matter is because these people have hijacked the political situation and they've taken reins in relationship to the political power. And then also we have people like the news media and stuff that are basically haranguing us, or as you said, Father, rightly, basically abusing them and us, et cetera, you know, abusing Trump and his family and us, et cetera. That's a form of oppression. It's an attack, the diabolic attack. Granted, he uses his other people, but that's also part of diabolic oppression. It's a diabolic attack from the outside. So one of the principal ways, and I'll just kind of tell you this story about how this prayer actually came about, because it might be helpful. every exorcist that I ever talked to, whenever I asked him, how do you break oppression? Every single one of them gave me the same answer, which was, well, about the only thing you can't really do a whole lot about all you can really do is say they, you know, they have the person increase their prayer life and then eventually it will slowly taper off and go away. So there was never any really kind of silver bullet, so to speak, in relationship to oppression. And so when during one of my cases, the demon said, you will not break the possession until you break the oppression. So I thought to myself, okay, then I'm going to beat out of this guy what it takes to break oppression. That's what we're going to do. It was the three most brutal sessions I ever had with a demon. He did not want to give this thing up. It was a slog fest for three consecutive days. We're just hammering this guy, and he didn't want to get it. Finally, we get him to the end, and he says this. He says, well, it's like any other rite. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he looks at me like I'm an idiot. So, you know, and it, you know, in comparison to angels, I'm pretty stupid. So I just said, okay, humor me. Tell me what I don't know. I'm obviously putting it colloquially, even though in session it's very formal. And then he said, it's like any other rite. You have to assert your rights over the thing that we're oppressing. We don't have any right to be there. We only have Christ's permission. And as a result of that, if you assert your rights over it and command us to leave, we will leave. And this is actually true because demons have the natural law structure in their mind too. So that they know if someone has a claim to something, they have to observe that claim. Well, so we drafted a prayer based on what he said. And then when we did that, we said the prayer and he stopped. He stopped oppressing that part of the person's life. He then went to another part of the person's life. And so we said the prayers for that, and then that stopped. And it literally was the whop-a-mole thing, you know, where you're pounding the thing over and over and over again, trying to get him. And so I, at a certain point, I just said, that's enough of that. So in one of the sessions, I just told him, how do you stop that? And he was a little more compliant this time, and he said, look, as long as you retain the rights over your property, Christ will always give us a certain amount of access to them. But if you consecrate them to Our Lady and give them entirely over to her, then once she accepts it, we are not permitted to touch it. Wow. So I thought, okay. And basically, it doesn't mean that you're not using the property, you're not using what you own, but it basically, and this is how we've gotten a lot of people who the demons will attack their finances, attack various parts of their lives. They'll consecrate that area of their life to Our Lady, and then the oppression will literally shut off. Wow. Almost overnight. And so I just tell people, keep saying that prayer of consecration. So if you go to the book on page 44, there's a prayer that we drafted based upon the total consecration of St. Louis Marie de Montfort, but it's modified to accommodate with this, what we basically learned. And it's just called the consecration of one's exterior goods to the Blessed Virgin Mary. When you get to the part where it talks about, I relinquish into thy hands, my heavenly mother, all rights over my exterior goods, including, that's when you need to put in, including the truthfulness and honesty in the election, you know, and then also you can put other things like for Trump's safety and things like that, because by passing it into the hands of Our Lady, you're not commanding the demons to do anything. And so as a result, the person will remain protected in that process. So I'm basically telling everybody, consecrate the election, consecrate Trump and our country to Our Lady and ask her to basically take it. So you can use that prayer as one form. Another. Hey, Father, so there's a, I always tell, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say,
I'm sorry.
Can you clarify how we're not called to, we don't have the authority, in other words, to command the demons to leave, and that puts us in danger, right? So can you tell a little bit about that?
Okay, yeah, well, as you know, I'm writing a book on diabolic influence, and the chapter on authority is 80 pages. So if that gives you any idea of it, yeah. But basically, I'll just give you the long and the short of it. So the short of it basically is this. As priests, because of the divine positive law, we actually have authority over all people unless it's restricted. And by that, I'm not talking about for faculties, for a solemn exorcism, but just in general. So technically speaking, you and I, Father, can actually say right. prayers of command to demons, telling them to leave him alone, leave the election alone, stay out of it, etc. Right. Binding prayers, basically. The lay people, however, don't have that authority. So they can all they can do is those they can petition God through a deprecatory prayer, just asking, Jesus, I ask you, or Lady, I ask you to, you know, keep the demons out of the election, etc. And in, that's actually, I tell people that when it comes to converting your family members or when it comes to getting your parents to see a priest in their final deathbed, which I've had phenomenal success in doing binding prayers in chapter 3, which is the exorcism of apostate angels over people that are don't want to see a priest in their deathbed. You do that and all of a sudden it loosens everything up and they'll want to come in and or they want the priest to come in. But there's a positive and a negative. The negative is you got to get the demons out of their hair, and the positive side is you got to get the person the grace in order to respond. So the positive part is what a lot of people are doing. They're saying the rosary, and even this prayer of consecration is a positive part. But the negative part is we have to ask our Lord two things. One is to block the demons' involvement in the election and in the process of, and also in the attacks in relationship to Trump and things of that sort. The other part of it is that we, as you know, the witches have been doing witchcraft against Trump and things of that sort and against our country ultimately. So one of the things that I've been doing actually in session with people who are possessed, when I'm dealing with the demons, there's a part of the ritual before you be actually, or sorry, there's a part where before you begin the ritual where you actually start loading things up. And so I'll literally ask God, keep this demon isolated from any empowerment that he is getting from the witchcraft that's being done in this country, that's being done. And a lot of times they will go nuts during that section, and it kind of ebbs and flows. So for example, I don't know if I should mention the particular name, but you can go on to their website and they openly talk about the fact that they, that one of the founding members, one of the three founding members of this Marxist communist group was in fact a witch, and they were openly doing witchcraft. In fact, the structure of this group is a 16 chaptered group, which is the exact structure used in Africa to in ritualistic activity in order to get people possessed. Okay, that all being said, wow. the point being is that we need to ask God to, and this is something when I first heard this from an exorcist, I'm like, well, that doesn't sound very charitable, but there's a real reason for it. And he said, if you're ever cursed, or if you find someone else cursing someone else, you can ask Christ that if it's his holy will, that the curse be sent back from whence it came. And that is a key thing I think that we need to do. We need to ask Christ and Our Lady that all the cursing, all the evil stuff that these people are doing on their side, that if it's their holy will, that it be sent back from whence it came. And there's a reason for that. It's actually charitable, because then when the demons come back to the people, in fact, I've actually had that in a case of possession where I told the demon he had to go back to the person who cursed this. He's like, no, don't send me back. Don't send me back. Because once he goes back, there's a defeat. But also when he showed up, the higher demon that sent him in is going to be really angry with the fact that he showed back up again. Okay. So that being said, this is one of the things we need to do is ask Christ. And if we petition it, and we're not commanding it, but if we petition it, and ask Christ and Our Lady that those people who are doing things on the side of the evil to advance what's happening right now, that if they ask Christ and Our Lady, send it back from whence it came. In the meantime, we need to consecrate this stuff.
Okay, so it's the consecration prayer. Amazing. And then those words, send this back to whence it came.
We've got to ask our Lord for people so
that this is readily available, because I think we can all be praying this way. And the point I was making too, Father, and I think you articulated it well, was we should never, laity should never say, I bind you or I, you know, but what I'm hearing That's you right. say is you're saying, Jesus, do this, Jesus, Mary, do this, right? If you're doing it yourself, you could get it. That could be dangerous, right?
That's right. You'll be suffer from retaliation because you don't have the authority to do so.
Correct.
Now, lay people can actually do it. They can do it in relationship to themselves and to those they have authority. So Doug can do it for those underneath him and his family, his children, his wife, etc. So they can do that. But the point being is that since we don't, you know, unless Trump is your son, you know, you're going to have to basically be petitioning our Lord and our Lady for these things. The other thing is we find is that if people do this, that there is a certain level of protection that they will actually have in relationship to him.
Nice.
So, So I think that
you're saying that by doing these prayers, the additional gain is for us to, you know, thicken our armor. We get even more protection.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Exactly. The other thing is too, is that, you know, we're not going to have spiritual peace if we're not willing to engage the battle. It's just not going to happen.
Peace through strength.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like I said, in relationship to the communists, I said, they're like demons. You can't just wave them off. They're not going to tolerate that. And you can't soft glove them. The only thing you can do with demons is you literally have to crush them underfoot, which is what Our Lady does, of course. But you have to do that. And that's what they understand. And I think when it comes to all of this, on a spiritual level, we've got to crush the demons. We've got to go on the offensive. We've got to, you know, like I said, man up and do what we got to do to get this. And don't lose heart. Now's the time when we should be buckling down. You know, ironically, Trump's in the hour of his greatest need in a certain sense, not spiritually necessarily in the thing, but at least politically, this is the time in which we should be buckling down and fighting, not just capitulating.
Well, and I'm going to reemphasize something you just said, Father, that we what's the option for us? In other words, you say that we really can't turn a blind eye to this. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and pretend that there isn't some Category 5 hurricane about to hit our city, expecting that it's just going to blow by. We're just going to ignore it, and that's going to protect us. We either are engaging in this, embracing and owning this fight, or not. And if we're not, we're setting ourselves up for far more trouble. But if we are, by God's grace, we can have that victory. But we can't just sit in the middle on the ground, right? Middle ground?
Yeah, there is no middle ground. That's just exactly right, Doug. So there is no middle ground. You're either going to have to fight and slog your way to freedom, or you're just going to get oppressed. That's just the nature of, that's the way demons are in a person's life. They, you know, when it comes to them, you either have to fight them or they're just going to take you over, one of the two. I mean, it's just the nature of the spiritual battle. And so I think that's what people have to realize, is that if you just roll over, then you're basically consigning yourself or country to other people to a life of misery, ultimately. And it's not, for me, it's not even so much the fact that, you know, we stand the very real possibility of our country becoming communist. I mean, there are elements of it that's already in place, but it could get to the point where it's full-blown communist if we're not careful. I mean, Our Lady said Russia will spread its errors. Nations would be wiped out. Why do we think that our nation wouldn't be one of them if we don't fight for it?
Father, there's been a call put out around the nation to do the Jericho marches. So to go to the state capitals and to walk around them 7 times. We actually did that for the first time today at noon hour. Mm-hmm. And I think you'd be happy with the prayers that we chose. So we prayed the mysteries of the rosary, the joyful and the sorrowful and the glorious, and then followed up with the chaplet of Saint Michael, and then concluded with the chaplet of Divine Mercy chaplet. I am going to bring this prayer that you recommend as well to that. And so for everybody that's in the area, listen, everybody can't get to a state capitol, but maybe do it from wherever you are at noon on those days, right? And to be kind of, I always say that's providing air support or prayer support to whatever's going on.
Right.
I advocate people, if they can't get to Planned Parenthood out in front of it, why not pray in support of those who are on boots on the ground out there? But anyways, what do you think of that? And then adding that prayer, right? And then and then actually naming those names. We'll get that all written out for everybody too, and provide that as a link for this. Yeah. This is excellent advice by one of the top exorcists in our country. And we really appreciate it.
I'm glad too, Father, you mentioned the rosary, because this feels like Lepanto all over again.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And I think if we can win it. We just have to be willing to beg Our Lady, say the rosary, do these other things too. But the rosary, I think, is going to be one of the weapons that's going to help deliver it.
Right. in a state of grace. State of grace, state of grace, state of
That's
grace.
That's right.
You know, get to confession frequently, receive communion as much as you can, and pray the rosary. Doug, what else you got?
Well, Father Ripper, yeah, on that point about, you know, you talk about getting into confession and so forth. And I mean, I just put a video out today expressing just a little bit of frustration over the acceptance and congratulations from the bishops of Joe Biden. A little bit of frustration. Right. Have to check out the video if anybody wants to know how frustrated I was. Point I'm getting at is,
I saw it. You were very frustrated.
I was very frustrated. Yeah. Well, I mean, my goodness, as a layman, as a husband and father, just, you know, we're trying like crazy. And then we don't get that kind of leadership.
Well, it's confusion. I mean,
it is. Yeah, it's scandalous.
Am I missing something? Yeah. Is it what it appears to be?
Yeah.
But go ahead, Doug.
Well, yeah. And I guess my question is, you know, and I'd like both of you to comment on this, because this is how I look at it, is if I'm a Catholic out there and I'm kind of, or Christian of any denomination really at this point, but as a Catholic, and I might be struggling with discouragement, being demoralized by this whole election battle, and then out of the blue, the head of the USCCB comes out and says, we welcome, we congratulate, we talk about how he's the second president that's ever professed the Catholic faith, even though Planned Parenthood, my understanding, I want to verify the message, but someone commented that Planned Parenthood put out a statement that they're excited and relieved about this, because now abortion can be promoted even further and so forth and such. So I'm going to double check that one. But the fact that this comes out from the bishop, head of the USCCB, if I'm a nominal kind of partly demoralized Catholic, this could very easily cause me to just stand down now. Because if my moral authority, the bishops, have acknowledged this and said it's time to move on with unity and so forth and this and that, that kind of makes me think, well, maybe I shouldn't be feeling like I need to keep fighting if the bishops are doing this over here. You follow me on this? I just think that the scandal of it causing people to just simply back off the battle now, because they have come out and said, we're good with this. Comment from you, Father Ripperger, and Father Heilman as well, on that thought process there, because I think it's very dangerous. Anytime you send a message to the troops that the leaders, your moral authority, are okay with something that you felt like you should be fighting against, I just think there's a natural inclination to say, well, I guess I don't need to fight it anymore. What are your thoughts?
You go first.
Go ahead, Father.
You want me to?
Yeah.
All right. I've been observing the bishops for a long time. First of all, I will obey them with my dying breath. And that's because we're Catholics and because I'm a priest. And I think a lot of them are amazing, but we have gone through a period of time, I believe, where we have seen our bishops, at least seemingly, okay, the perception is that they are compromising, okay? And actually in that revelation from Our Lady of Akita, it talked about, you know, they will seek compromises, you know, bishop against bishop, Cardinal against Cardinal, but they will seek compromises. It seems like, and I don't know their motive, but it seems like that they just want peace at all cost. And I mean at all cost. And so, and the way I put it, and this is the way I perceive it, is, and I'll be corrected if someone wants to do this, but we've been bullied for 4 years, okay? And bullied in a shameful way in the last year. I mean, they're inciting race riots, okay? And I think they're manipulating COVID to try to, you know, put them in the best position going into this election. I find it ironic that all of a sudden an announcement for a vaccine occurs 1 week after the election. I digress. But anyways, we've been bullied for 4 years, and I just feel, this is the way I feel, that we're patting the bullies on the head and saying, way to go. Congratulations for bullying us for 4 years. Look, bullying wins. And that's why I'm feeling dejected right now. Father, do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, I, you know, when I when I think about the bishops, I'm with you, Father, in the sense that I think that there's some that are really good men. I mean, I deal with them because as exorcists, you'll get calls from bishops from around the country, and some are very solid. Some of them, I mean, we all know this, are very problematic, to say the least. And so for me, what it really boils down to is, and first of all, Doug, I hear you. I think that the normal reaction to the average guy in the pew is going to be exactly that. Oh, well, then we'll just accept it and kind of move on type of thing. But I think that ultimately it's not prudent. I don't think it was prudent for the bishops to basically make that statement yet, given the fact that it's just a matter of prudence. I mean, I don't think that they should have made that statement, and because the election hasn't even been officially called yet. The mainstream media has called it, but they're not the official organ that calls this. And so I think, and two, we actually saw this. When Gore was elected, the news media called it for Gore, but then the Supreme Court turned around and gave it to Bush. So I think that this lack of understanding on their part, it's just a basic prudential thing. They should not have done that. And that brings me to my real point, which is, it's a matter of being principled. You know, you follow the bishops in those matters for which you are bound to follow them. But when you're not bound to follow them, you know, and then you don't follow them, you follow principle, or what the church has always taught. And I think this is what the real issue is it's a matter of being principled man in relationship to when the bishops say these types of things. You look at it, you analyze it, and if it doesn't line out with what you know is true, or what you know is in accord with authentic moral and as well as philosophical principle, you just say, well, this is not where the principles lie, and you just do what you need to do. So I think the thing that I would tell people is my temptation is to tell them to go watch the Lord of the Rings when Gandalf whacks the steward over the head with his thing and tells everybody prepare for battle. Right. So that's my temptation. But I would just say, no, look, it now is not the time to be conceding. Now is the time to continue the fight. I think that's where the principle.
I just want to interject right here. And this is the prayer that I've been offering too, that there's a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit for our bishops. And I've been, Doug, you've had to listen to me for a long time, but I've been pointing to the fact that what appears to be going on in our church right now is very much like the scene where Jesus was arrested. You know, there was one who betrayed him. There were 10 who fled in silent self-protection, and only John the Beloved stayed with him at the cross. And you know what's interesting? That somebody did a count of the bishops that actually pointed to abortion as the preeminent issue as you're considering your vote this year. You know how many there were? 21. Do you know how many bishops there are in the United States? 260. 260. I think I'm right about that. 260. I looked it up. And yeah, you know what 21 is a percentage of? 1/12. Okay. So, and no one did a count of those who actually gave every reason they could to vote for Biden, to vote for someone who is fine with killing babies up to the birth, who is blatantly spitting in the face of the church when he presided at two gay marriages. And in a recent interview said, yeah, if an 8-year-old believes he's a girl, yes, send him to the surgeon and let him, you know, alter his body, you know. I'm going to guess there were probably 21 bishops that were actually giving people all the reason in the world. So yeah, there's a Judas. Okay. So I don't know. What did happen with these apostles? They were hiding in the room. He came in even though the door was locked, and he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And those guys went out fearless and ended up being martyred for the will of God and the truth of God.
Well, right? And I would say this too, and I want to be very clear, is the current video that I put out addressing this statement from, you know, the Archbishop and USCCB and so forth. I pray for the bishops, clergy. I pray for, you know, you two priests. I pray for all priests, good, bad, you know, heretical, faithful, in my daily rosary. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I will continue to do that. I know the ultimate battle is with the wicked rulers of the heavenly realms. I recognize that that's where we're really engaging. But on a natural level, and Father Ripker, I mean, you both, I loved your comments, both of what you both said, but I, Father Ripker, you know, to remind the troops that, as you said, and I want to reiterate, just because this statement was made, and I agree with you, very imprudent, especially it hasn't been ratified. This election is still, there's still a lot to happen and unfold right now. People have forgotten 20 years ago, the Hanging Chad incident with Al Gore and all that. It's an amazing story. People need to go back and take a look at that. But that being said, we've got a pit bull in the White House right now. Thank God. He's going to hang on to this and fight because he knows what's at stake. I think more than we do. And there's still a lot of hope we have in this situation here. And because the imprudent decision to say these, you know, congratulations to Joe Biden all came out of the Archbishop's, you know, mouth and so forth, should not stop us from continuing to forge ahead and move forward. And I just want to reiterate that that's what it sounds like you said, Father Ripperger. I want to pray for the bishops, but I do not accept an attitude of congratulations to Biden-Harris. It's a dangerous situation, and we need to be redoubling our efforts, toughening up, thickening the skin, fasting, praying, mortifying, and engaging this battle as if the future freedoms of our country depend on it, because they do. So did I reiterate that effectively enough, Father?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Hey, Father, we could go on all night, and I wish we could.
Yeah.
But we've gone pretty long. And so this is a special edition of An Extra Long with Father Ripperger. We're so very grateful. Father, is such wisdom. Such good advice for us. I think we'll put that up as a meme, your prayer, and it'll actually be you who said it, right?
Yeah. But there you go. Yeah, this one I've actually said.
Yeah. But we'll put that up. We'll attach it to this this podcast. So
yeah, we'll get it up.
Father, thank you so much. If you don't mind, could you close with a prayer and a blessing for us?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer.
Nice.
And the reason I'm going to say this prayer is for all those people who actually do take my advice and actually end up, just a second, I got to get it from another location. Who do take my advice, I'm going to say this prayer for all those people so that God may protect them from any type of diabolic retaliation. And then I'll give an actual, blessing. And this prayer is also in that book for deliverance of lay people, but it's going to be slightly modified. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, in thy love and mercy, pour thy precious blood over all those who say the prayers which we have asked of them to say, and also over Trump, over our country, over all of those who are fighting for what is good, so that no demon or disembodied spirit will retaliate against us. Mary, surround us with thy mantle, blocking any talent spirits from having any authority over us. Saint Michael, surround us with thy shields, no evil spirit may take revenge on us. Queen of Heaven and Saint Michael, send down the legions of angels under your command to fight off any spirits who seek to harm us. All you saints of heaven, impede any talent spirits from influencing us. Lord, thou art the just judge, the avenger of the wicked, the advocate of the just. We beg in thy mercy that all we ask of Mary, the angels, the saints of heaven, be also granted to all our loved ones, those who pray for us and their loved ones, that for thy glory's sake, we may enjoy thy perfect protection. Amen.
Amen.
Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, patris et filii et spiritus sanctus, super vos et manet semper. Amen.
Thanks, Father.
Thank you, Father.
You're very welcome.